to my little friend.
It's time to get in the zone.
In the zone.
Oh, my God! The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
The Zone is sponsored by Helena Agro Enterprises and Fashion Furniture.
Swung on, hit the deep center field. Bernie Williams goes back.
It's Friday, and you're in the zone. Here are your hosts, Nick Papagni.
You talking to me?
And Nick Anderson.
You talking to me?
It's time to get in the zone.
What are you worried about? I'm in the zone, man!
You are in the zone.
On an early Friday afternoon, thanks for hanging out with us. We are here from 3 to 5 today. One thing about the zone, Nick Sturta, the big cat, Nick Anderson, and, of course, the Pag Meter, you never know when we're going to be on and where we're going to be at.
Well, there's some exciting things going to happen with the Zone Show here soon. And if you're out there listening to us in Bakersfield or Exeter, Hanford, Westside, Madera, Kerman, Merced, well, you might be seeing us a little bit closer to you in the near future. Let's just leave it at that, Pags. How's that sound?
Well, you're not even going to tell me. You're going to keep it under the secrets, under the wraps.
Well, Helen has got something cooking along with the zone, and we're going to try to reach out and touch a few folks, and I think it'll be fun. So,
well, my idea, the Big Cat, is, you know, this is now the number one show on Friday afternoons, and the local show is, this thing is tearing them up. I mean, and people like to talk local here. We have a niche here at 940. My idea was, let's span the valley. Let's go see them. You know, and we're going to start going to some places, right? Is that what we're planning on?
Yeah, we're going to get out there. We're going to go visit some of these schools in some of these areas, and we're going to have the show close by and be able to kind of reach and be part of the community, because that's what we're doing here with the Zone Show. Is we're spending time with the community high schools and the local schools, and that's kind of what we're all about. And you've done a great job with this, and now it's time to get out and start meeting some of these folks that aren't, you know, not in the immediate Fresno area. We've been out to several area restaurants and things like that, local area, but you're gonna get out there and be a part of some of these other leagues and meet a lot of people. And I think it'll be good for everybody to kind of, you know, sit down and have a little round table and get more of a discussion going, and we'll make some invites out there, and Helena will be a part of that and getting some of our customers involved and friends, family, all that stuff. So I'm looking forward to it.
And, of course, the headquarters for us is Slam Dunk Fashion Furniture, El Paso, Blackstone, and River Park. This will be our station, our headquarters, and then we'll be branching around wherever Rod thinks we need to go.
Hey, all about that for sure.
How about an idea like this? We bring in some of the furniture. We get it on the big ESPN truck, take some recliners out and show them.
Luis is kind of looking at you like, man, who's going to be helping me load that up into the van and then put it back when you guys are done? And we'll have to talk about that one, right, Luis?
Well, you know Matty Jail will sit in that recliner.
Maybe Bobby can come too. We'll get Bobby involved.
We love Bobby.
Well, Bobby's back there. Bobby's going to play a little. For all your listeners out there, every time you hear some AC/DC or maybe some Boston or Cars or maybe some Green Day, that's Bobby back at the studio. He's the main man back there. He makes it all happen right now. Luis, he's here. He set us up here. And without those two, we're not here right now.
So when you hear that AC/DC, is that like remind you of the days when you were like,
I'm back in black.
Like your prom and formal days when you were just so drunk you couldn't remember anything?
Oh, drunk. So, no, I was more thinking about the white tux with the pink ruffles.
That's what you went with?
And the white shoes. Don't you remember those days?
I wore a baby blue with white shoes.
You probably didn't even go.
Oh, yeah. Then I had a yellow one year. I thought I looked so good. I look back now and I'm going,
you were modeling after Lawrence Welk.
You know, I look back at my life. Okay.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
No, I mean a lot
Luis,
of people.
Earplugs in.
No, but I'm
in.
Saying you saw me in the Winnie the Pooh and all that. But a lot of you people, what were you in your previous life? Everyone was a general or a, you know, world class baseball player, whatever. I think I was a mascot. I think I really was. Okay. Kathy's laughing.
So there's a lot of mascots out there. Which one are you? Just the pack
meter?
Well,
I mean, I love being Santa Claus. I got a big Easter Bunny outfit. I got Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, wait a minute. Do I have a picture of Winnie the Pooh? Because if I do, I might actually send that out.
Let's not say we did.
I do have a nice picture of you. Now that makes a lot of sense to me. What do you do behind?
Well, the reason why
I'm worried about you a little bit here.
The reason why I have Winnie the Pooh is when I came back from Memphis, I was there 2 weeks with Langston. Alexa, my daughter, and Nick, her new husband, were at the airport with a big sign, "Welcome back to Michael Jackson impersonation camp." Big giant sign. And people were like, "Wow, is that a thing?" So when she came back from her honeymoon, I thought, I'm going to get her back. So I had a giant sign, "Welcome," and I had my Winnie the Pooh. But the sad thing is, I was at the Fresno airport. No one even batted an eye.
No.
It's not a big deal.
Normal everyday occurrence over at the Fresno. Well, they're just trying to fight to get through the TSA line at Fresno International, by the way. And that's probably one of the worst TSA lines. And I travel a fair amount.
Yeah, you do.
I can pick one, maybe two. But that has got to be the worst airport in terms of the getting through the TSA. And I'm approved, so I'm through there, right? But I'll tell you, that line and those folks that work in there, and you think it would all be consistent, right? No matter where you go, they're looking for the same thing, and they recognize this. But, man, I'll tell you, those guys over there, I mean, it's like, oh, my gosh, I got a penny sitting on the ground. Oh, my gosh, let's get over here in the corner. We're going to double-check you and all that. Maybe it's just the way I look. I don't know. But, I mean, I hate flying through Fresno, Nick. I hate it.
Well, you're really an inspiration for our local economy there.
I'm sorry. I'm just telling you. I have to fly out of Fresno, and that's one reason why. And I don't think there's that many people that are going to disagree with me, and I don't really care. I'm just going to tell you the truth of it. You know, it's tough to fly in, and it's tough to fly out of Fresno for a lot of different reasons. One of them, the expense side, and the other one is getting through that line.
Okay, so airplaneologists, what would make it better? Instead of complaining, we see a lot. There's a whole party out there that loves to complain.
If I had the solution to that, I'd probably be able to have the solution to why we can't get more butts in the seats at the Save Mart Center. How's that?
Oh, you're going that route.
We are a sports show, by the way, so I thought I'd at least try to head back that direction.
Yeah. Well, if you let Matt go on for a half an hour, he will tell you about all that. So, I mean, about
the airport?
Fresno. Oh, yeah, that's one of them. Everybody He's not complains. A flyer like you are.
Everybody I've spoke with. So if anybody says differently, it's probably because you don't fly enough. And I'm not saying I'm happy or excited about flying that much. But being able to fly that much, you want to try to get through things and try to be as efficient as possible. And that is the dreadful thing, is knowing that you've got to fly out the next morning going through Fresno.
So, okay, let's do the carologist thing real fast.
Carologist, Rob.
Yeah, I'm in Fairfield on 80 heading to Sacramento, and somehow I went through a toll. I didn't know they had a toll right there. I didn't have any money. I had $3 or $4 and an ATM card.
Shocker.
And I told the lady,
shocker.
I got $4 or ATM, which one? He goes, oh, no, you keep going. We will bill you. How much is that going to be?
Well, I'm going to tell you, Megan had that same thing. She's traveling somewhere, and she's – I would expect you to have a little bit of money in your pocket, but, you know, Megan, I mean, she's still trying to figure out how to save money. So she's driving, and she went through the same type of thing, and they did the same thing to her. Keep going.
How much was it?
And there was a, I don't know, it was like, it was fairly healthy, but you had to pay by a certain point. If you didn't pay
what
by
the... What do you mean healthy? Was it over $20?
Well, I mean, anything's healthy when you drive in California. Is that really, I mean, is there anything that's not healthy? I mean, anything they can do to get money from you in this state, they're going to grab onto it. So, yeah, it's healthy, Nick.
Well, where does that go?
I don't know.
All this healthy money.
Probably to Gavin Newsom's retirement fund. I don't know. Is that a political statement? I'm sorry.
That's okay. We all understand. But seriously, I don't even know. What am I going to get that?
You just got to pay your bill online.
Is it $20, $30?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
I'm okay with that.
Which bridge was it?
Somewhere by Sacramento and Fairfield.
You're probably in the far lane, the express lane or something?
No, it's just you had to go over this bridge.
Oh, Martinez.
I have no idea where I was at. I'm just driving along, and I go, wait a minute. How did I get here? And I'm looking on my change, and I got $4 and an ATM card.
Now, you folks out there listening right now, Pags doesn't get out of Fresno much. You know, he gets into the San Joaquin Valley. But when it comes to bridges and toll roads,
I didn't know they had one there.
Nick has a hard time navigating or preparing for that adventure.
I get the
Rod says you can barely handle.
Rod's
stop
on
signs.
Me today, by the way. Thanks to Pacheco, he's on me.
He's on you, and he has a right to be on you. By the way, I'm sure.
No, but I know about the Bay Bridge. You got to pay $38, whatever, to get in there.
110 now, I think.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Well, they're trying to ramp up. They're trying to clean the roads up or something. I think
that's something else. So I'm learning all this, but yeah, it's we're gonna have something special tonight too. Matt and I are gonna be on TV. You know, I have a radio face. We're going to broadcast on NorCal TV, Nick. Clovis West versus Clovis North starting at 5:30 with the girls, followed by Cole Anderson and Clovis West versus Clovis North. This is a special deal, and I'm telling you right now, this is big for our town. Have four of the top teams in the state squaring off.
Yeah, you guys are going to be on that later, and we'll talk about that today a little bit. And you know, I think that just comes back to what we're trying to do here in the Valley and trying to expose a lot of these teams, and you've got these teams now that are, you know, we used to have a team here and a team there, and you've got multiple teams now that are competing with each other, and the track just started up, and there's other, you know, leagues that are doing just as fine, but tonight's this matchup is 1-2 versus 1-2, right?
Yeah.
And you don't see that very often. It's under one roof, and that's what Clovis Unified, the track, has done this year, is to put the varsity girls game just before the varsity boys game. Next year they will flip-flop that.
Which is fine.
So the boys will play at 5:30 next year instead of 7 this year, and they'll rotate that, and that's good. You know, I think it's good for everybody. You're going to be playing at one of the best venues in the state of California. This game is going to be broadcast from one of the best venues in the state of California. We learned last week that the state of Indiana, which doesn't surprise me, because if you compare that to like Texas, for example, when it comes to football, Indiana makes sense that they're going to have maybe a bigger gym, or if you want to refer to it as an arena, they've got up to 8,000 to 10,000 people that are arenas that are over there in that state, and that doesn't surprise me. But we did talk about how we thought maybe Clovis North's gym was maybe the largest in the country. But let's just keep it in California. I think we probably would be fair to say that's the largest gym in California.
You've been around to a lot of high school. That has to be
in California. I've been to one gym that was in Texas last year for a AAU tournament, and that was a pretty big venue. So I may have to. I didn't think about that one last week, so I'll throw that out there. So I'm sure there's other gyms that are as big or bigger across the country, but California, I have not seen one like that anywhere. And it's going to be great. There's going to be teams playing there. A lot of great athletes. You tweeted earlier about a few kids that were not even in that game, but it's a couple of kids that were recognized by Cal High Sports that were from Valley teams. And again, it's so cool to be able to see some of these kids that are showing up on the radar on Cal High Sports. And Cal High Sports has been around so long, Nick, you know, and you can say what you want to say about them, but they do get out and they reach and they talk to a lot of folks. So I look at them as kind of a site that you'd go to, and you get back some pretty good information.
So for all you Twitter people out there that follow the PAG meter, I put that list out on from Cal High Sports, and I put Brianna Hurt from Kerman Lions, and they had like Caitlin Hurt. So I have nothing to do with Cal High Sports. Okay, everyone tweeting me PAG meter, it's wrong, it's wrong. I put Brianna Hurt on my Twitter.
Did anybody ever tell you thank you though for setting it out?
People like to wait for me to mess up, and that's okay because I mess up all the time.
Yeah,
I tweet so much sometime in scores that I might put final, if Clovis North is playing Clovis West tonight, I might put final score Clovis North 48, Modesto Christian 41.
Sure.
Oh, I messed up.
Well, so, maybe I sent you the wrong information.
Well, that's
happened
guaranteed.
Before. So I'm just going to go out and say that. But the other thing that's going to be cool tonight too is you're going to see some college coaches there. More college coaches are starting to come to the Valley to watch games because there's more kids that are starting to be recognized. A lot of that's to do with AAU and the exposure that AAU brings. The kids go away, then they come back and they watch them on their own teams, and both the girls and the boys' side both. So, Nick, that's just bringing more opportunities to these kids out of the Valley, and that's kind of what we're all about, is to try to expose these kids as much as we can, to provide whatever that means in terms of them being able to go on and play at that next level, whatever level that happens to be.
I've been doing this for a long time. This is my 16th year on 940 ESPN. And I said to you 8 years ago, maybe 10, that if you're going to play basketball, you almost have zero chance of playing at the next level. That's done. That's we have taken basketball, and we are now on the map because a lot of the teams, four of the teams we're going to see tonight alone, with that coaching staff, with Tony Amundsen, Vance Wahlberg, Heather Wahlberg Long, and Craig Campbell, they've taken it to another level now. We are now on the map. You just mentioned college coaches coming in. That has never happened before. The Jalen Greens of the world, the Cole Andersons, we're on the map now with anybody.
Yeah, I think that that's very accurate. And let's take a break, Nick, and come back and chat a little bit more about that and also talk a little bit more about the game tonight and on both the girls' yes. and the boys' side. Talk about these coaches. We are going to have the coaches on here later. I think Heather Wahlberg will be on. Craig Campbell will be on.
Tony Amundsen.
Tony Amundsen's
good. Also, in the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to have Ron Scott. We're going to talk to him for a few minutes. Tomorrow night is the big Fresno City Rams dinner. And former Central Grizzly, Fresno City Rams, and now Boston Red Sox, Marcus Walden
wow.
is going to join us. I mean,
and if you don't know that name, if you don't know that name, you don't know baseball from the Valley.
Well, what a great story that is. Like somebody who keeps it going. I mean, he's going to tell us what it's been like to go through the minor leagues and finally making it to the show. Gianna and I were at the game when he finally got called up, but he was so busy. I remember the Rex Hudler days when he finally got called up. The last thing you want to keep it away. And so we did. We'll talk to Marcus.
It's like getting married. You know, you can't get around enough, right? You're just all occupied.
Well, you've been married 6 times, so we're going to talk about that sometime, too. Let's take a quick break. We are here live at Fashion Furniture. Thank you to Helena Agra Enterprises and, of course, Fashion Furniture. Matt Johnson will join us in a few, and then we'll keep it going today. This is a special edition, 3 to 5 today, 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
You
are live in the zone from Fashion Fair, brought to
Fashion
you by
Furniture.
Fashion Furniture. Jeez. My bad. I'm trying to sing here because Bobby's got this music and my brain's elsewhere. You know where we are. We're Fashion Furniture.
I let him go for one time and look what happened, Walter. Yeah,
I'm so excited about today. Yeah. I kind of lost it. Now Rod's back there probably shaking his head again at us.
Well, it's early edition, so if you're thinking about listening to Donnie Diodato, he came on earlier today.
Yeah, he said something nice about you today, too, so you might want to throw it back his
way. First of all, I've known Tony for a long, long time. He's pure, by far the legend here in the Valley. If you want to know 1973 fifth inning Giant Braves, what happened to Candlestick, go. Well, I'll tell you what, it was the fifth inning, it was a 3-2 pitch. He'll know. Tony D is a legendary Valley, knows it all, and I love Tony Diodato, and because, Nick, he's Italian. So we're here live at Fashion Furniture, El Paso Blackstone. Happy New Year to all. How long do we get to say Happy New Year for? It's too much.
Well, from what I see, it's all these Christmas lights still glowing on people's houses. It still seems to be Christmas.
And what's the over and under on that?
I mean, I don't know. People are so eager to put them up, but they don't want to take them down. So we're still celebrating Christmas. Or there's some other holiday out there somewhere that we're celebrating, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's always wonder about that, how long the lights go on.
Ask Walter. Ask Walter probably tell you the answer to that. My thing is you put them on the day after Thanksgiving. You take them down before New Year's, so after
Thank
Christmas.
You.
New Year's, between Christmas and New Year's, doesn't count for Christmas lights and snowman and Santa Claus on the roof and snow globes in the front yard. Okay, let's not forget about tradition, all right? I'm a big tradition guy, Pags.
Really?
I also want to talk about one thing before we get into the high school thing, which we are going to have on in here real soon. And actually, I'm going to wait because I need more time. I want to talk about these social media boards out there. For all you guys out there on these social media boards that you talked among yourself about all these things, these kids being recruited, what school they're going to go to, oh, about their dads and all those type of things, I would love for you guys just to call in. If you would just call in and give me the ability or us the ability to answer some of your crazy comments that you make online.
Well, give me some examples. I don't know what you're talking about.
They know who they are. They listen to us. They love our show, Pags. People love our show because we say it the way it is.
Well,
but when people
about?
Talk behind the scenes on these little social media boards about you know, where these kids are going or what they're doing, they don't have any information that suggests anything more. Give us a call. Ask us a few questions. I'll give you the answer you're looking for. But hiding behind the scenes like that, That's just who you are. You're just hiding.
So you're calling somebody out, but I have no idea what you're talking about.
That's right. They know who they are. They're listening. So anyway, let's go deep. Let's go into the coach's corner here, and let's bring on the experts that are going to be coaching some games tonight.
Yeah, we're going to do that shortly. Well, I'll send it to Bobby right now. We're going to get a hold of Heather Wahlberg-Long. And tell me about – let's talk about the matchup before we get a hold of Coach. What's the key for Clovis North beating Clovis West? They've beaten one time ever. So how does Heather have a fun dinner tonight after the game if they get a big win over Clovis West? What do they have to do?
Well, I mean, if you talk to people about both those teams, Clovis West is a team, the girls I'm talking about, is a team that's very, you know, they're consistent. They have good balance. They've got some kids that have played at that level for a while, and so does Clovis North. But they also they spread the floor well in terms of scoring. Overall, Clovis North really has, you know, what seems to be the case on the girls' side is they have one player that's putting up some huge numbers, Nick. And to try to contain Savannah Tucker tonight is going to be got to be one of the biggest things that Coach Campbell's got on his mind, because she's really putting up a lot of points. How you do that, I'm not sure. She's played against some really, really good teams out there, and I'm sure she's been on the game plan for those teams, and people have tried to contain her. But they're going to have to get other people involved tonight. That's my opinion to win the game. They're going to have to get more than Savannah. And that's the same case for Clovis West on the boys' side. To beat Clovis North, they're going to have a balanced attack as well. So all the teams, whoever wins, I feel are going to have the teams are going to have the most input from the rest of the starting five as well as the bench. The bench is going to play a role. So that's my opinion on both tonight's matchups. Because other than that, both teams are all four teams are pretty even when it comes to overall scoring.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think Craig Campbell is going to come up with some sort of game plan to slow down one of the greatest scorers we have in the state, Savannah Tucker, and that'll be the key for them. Just like we'll talk on the boys' side, Tony Amundson's going to come up with a game plan to slow down Cole Anderson. If it's double team when he gets the ball, you know, above the three-point line, but you know, it's going to be a game plan. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And let's go to Clovis North right now. The head coach of the Clovis North girls basketball team, Heather Wahlberg-Long. I'm sorry.
You thought Heather. I messed up. Heather, yeah. That's not me, Heather, by the way. That's Pag Meter.
Heather, how are you today?
Hold on. I'm good. How are you?
Good. Hey, it's going to be a big night tonight. I know you're excited. What is the pregame before? What are the Broncos doing before they even hit the gym?
The girls are very relaxed, very ready, excited to play in a really awesome atmosphere tonight. Can you hear me okay?
Perfect.
Okay. We're just normal game day stuff. They're focused, and it's with such a quick turnaround, they're going to be back at the gym shortly.
Talk with Heather Wahlberg-Long, of course, a big game tonight. 5:30, we'll have it on NorCal TV. It's a big one. It's a rematch of last year. You got the big win over Clovis West, and then you lost in the championship. This team, I think, it just seems to me this is the team that Clovis North has been waiting for. I think it's the best team in school history. And tell me about the senior leadership going in tonight.
Very, very proud of the senior class. Obviously a lot of people know about Rowan and Savannah, but we have some other kids that have been a big part of building this program all the way through. And, you know, with the leadership of Rowan and Savannah, because they are on the floor the majority of the time, but just kind of the class that took us all the way through, you know, there's been some special pieces and players that have come through our program that have laid the groundwork so that we are able to play on a stage like we get to play tonight. But definitely a complete program effort, and this senior class sticking it through and being committed to putting Clovis North on the map.
Coach, what has to happen tonight for the Broncos to win?
Got to play hard. You know, we ask a lot of them, and they're got to play hard, got to play smart. And both teams are going to come to the table with a lot. And just really want to see the girls play hard. So outside of that, you know, we always talk about control everything you can control. You know, we're not going to be able to control the entire game and going back and forth, but we can control our effort. We control how hard we play and playing smart. So those are the things we talk about going into a night like tonight. And, you know, our girls have played a very tough schedule. I think the toughest schedule in the Valley this year, and to prepare us for a game like tonight. So,
and of course, we'll Heather, you've already beaten a team like St. Mary's of Stockton, one of the biggest private professional high schools in the United States. But you're playing at the Staples Center now, right in front of the Bronco Nation. It's going to be a packed house. How do you get the girls to calm down? Because, you know, basketball is an emotional sport, but you still got to play within yourself. That's not going to be, it's going to be the biggest crowd you're going to have since Cellon Arena.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and which is the great thing about these six-pack games, that people don't have to choose tonight. So that's going to be awesome for both the boys and the girls. But really, we talk about it a lot, where you can't simulate the experience of a night like tonight except for just being in the moment over and over and over again, which is why we schedule the way we do. You know, we've played 3 home games of 17. So when we get on the court, you like to think that the rest of it is just everybody else watching us practice and play. And, you know, just we do everything we can to simulate a moment like tonight without actually having it be tonight, because you obviously can't have 3,000 people coming to your practice every day. But, you know, we've played some very, very, very good teams all throughout the state of California and traveling down to Arizona. And that's really – and so have they. You know, Clovis West has, you know, really had a very strong preseason schedule to do the exact same thing.
Coach, what about your – you've got 2 players you mentioned there, and you've got a lot of support around them. And obviously those players are going to be part of, you know, Clovis West game plan, and you've got players that you're looking at. And I said earlier to Pags, I mean, it's going to come down to, I think, the amount of balanced scoring that either team can provide. Early on games like this, you have a tendency to have some of those players that are – real eager and have a lot of energy to go out and foul early. And that's going to be one of those things that you got to watch out as a coach is on a press or something like that to get somebody in foul trouble early. But those are the type of things that I feel are going to be the deciding factor at the end of the day with these two teams on who actually comes up on top.
Yeah, I mean, 2 very, very high-level teams, and, you know, players on both sides are going to show up. And then it's, like you said, the stuff that you – really can't control, and how are you going to maneuver through it? So, you know, it's going to, adversity is going to hit both sides, and how are we going to respond? And those are things that we're always talking about, so that when the moment happens, we know what to do. And, you know, I haven't been doing this for a really long time, but in my years of doing it, what I've realized is having juniors and seniors really does make a big difference. And, you know, having the senior leadership of Rowan and Savannah, and having Lainey, who's been there, and now Asha and Taylor, they're coming back. This isn't the first time in this big moment. And that's really valuable to our team and to a night like tonight.
Talking with Heather Wahlberg, Long, coaching Clovis North tonight at 5:30. It's going to be a big crowd. We're going to have it on TV. I'm excited to be there. And I know you're a busy girl right now, but thanks for hanging out with us today. I'm looking forward to the game tonight, and so is half the Valley.
Yeah, no, it's going to be – we're excited to have you guys there. It's going to be a really neat atmosphere that I don't think we've seen around here in a really long time. So I'm really excited that the six-packs were able to happen for both the boys and the girls and the community. You know, we have – on the boys and the girls side, they're the 1 and 2 teams in the Valley on paper. And to be able to have that in one spot and to showcase a lot of very, very talented athletes in one gym on one night, I mean, it's what these kids work for their whole lives. So it's going to be really neat.
Heather, I harped on this for about 5 years because I have my top 10 blunder stories in Valley history. You know, they're so, I mean, moving McFarland boys cross country to Division One. I was one. How Memorial Division Five didn't win a section championship with three NBA players, and how the track could not put the boys and girls on the same night. Instead, they had them in different gyms. They finally did it right. I think the community, everyone's going to love it tonight. And I think everyone's so excited. And not only that, I mean, if you're Clovis East fan, that's going to be the same thing. And Buchanan and all the other track teams are going to do it. And I would bet you watch the rest of the Valley is going to start doing the same thing in the central section. Might be doing the same thing soon. So best of luck, Heather. I'm looking forward to tonight. And just have a great game.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Good luck.
I mean, it's going to be a big one.
Well, no, I think it's – and, again, like I keep talking about local. I mean, you know, you had to travel. A lot of folks, you know, who remember basketball, you know, and we've had some good teams that have come out of here, but we haven't had multiple, you know, teams that have had girls that are on it that are going to play at the next level and at the highest level in Division One. And if you want to get out, it's Friday. It's a big place, so they're going to have some room. It's going to be crowded, but if you want to watch some great basketball and girls and boys, come out tonight and watch Clovis North versus Clovis West over there and see some of these kids on how hard they've worked. And these coaches, I mean, you can't take that away from the coaches either, Nick. I mean, you're talking about coaches that grew up. You know, Coach Campbell, you know, came to Clovis West so many years ago, but he has built such a huge program at Clovis West, and I got to experience that firsthand. And what he's done, and my kids benefited from the time that he spent there doing that. And I think Heather's doing the same thing. And that's not to say other programs. I know Crothers is another program that I think is an up-and-coming program. And to be located where they are and have the success that they're having, that's incredible. And it says a lot for the amount of time. And I keep talking. We talk about players a lot, but you know, you got to really take a step back and see how much time some of these coaches have spent with these programs, these kids, and have helped some of them get to the next level, getting an education that maybe wouldn't have come from a different way, or it'd have been more of a hardship for them to get that education. So I can't speak, you know, I can go on and on and on about that, but we never forget about the coaches that are behind the scenes and how much time they spend away from their families coaching these kids, Nick.
Well, let's go now to the greatest girls coach we've ever had in our super section right here, the head coach of the Clovis West Golden Eagles. They've won the central section, I think, almost 10 straight years. They're going for this is an unbelievable record. But Craig Campbell now, he'll be coaching Clovis West tonight against Clovis North. This is Duke versus North Carolina back in the heyday.
No, wait a minute. Okay, so Campbell's a North Carolina guy.
Well, whatever you want to say.
And I'm a Duke guy. So okay. We have battled back and forth for a long, long time. You just brought something up. So he's going to hammer on me right now.
Okay, Laker Warriors, whatever you want to do. This is Craig Campbell on the line. Craig, I don't want to start a war with you and Nick, but welcome in.
You would just be rekindling one. It's not starting one.
Oh, okay.
True.
Yeah,
true.
But that's what it feels like. This is the rivalry that you guys have. Clovis North, put it this way. Back in the day when Boise State and Fresno State, there was never a rivalry. It was always the big brother beating up the little brother. But now since Fresno State won a couple years ago, it's now a rivalry. Clovis North finally beat you last year. Is it a rivalry or do you still – you're the big sister and they're the little sister?
No, it's you know what, it doesn't even have to be a rivalry. You don't have to beat somebody to do it. Clovis North has done an excellent job the last several years against us and throughout the Valley and throughout the state. So it's not really who won, who lost. We have tremendous respect for their program, what they've accomplished. We've had some dogfights with them. And, you know, whatever the scoreboard says at the end is what it says. But it's a rivalry because you got two of the top 15 teams in the state living, you know, 8 minutes apart and battling two or three times a year.
Hey, Craig, so is there any trash talking going on between you and Heather at all? Or, like, nice heels. What's going on over there? Are you guys really cordial?
Oh, no. We have tremendous respect for them and what they do. And, you know, our program's in the track. We run our AAU stuff together and, you know, we you go around the valley and you constantly see the track coaches everywhere, from the Little Hoopsters to the AAU to and that's why our league is so strong, is our coaches in our league work so darn hard. So you know, she's going to have her team prepared. We hope our team's prepared, and it should be a great basketball game tonight.
Yeah, you know, Craig, Pags was hoping for a little dirt, right? He just likes that. So he was going to try to hopefully.
He's way too nice.
Think he'd slip or something, yeah. Say something, he could run with it a little bit. That's just how he is, right? You know that.
I was hoping for some dirt.
And getting back to this rivalry thing, I've been a part of this rivalry personally myself, and now it's kind of outside of it. But, you know, it is eight. I don't even know if it's 8 minutes, but, you know, you got a lot of kids. You know all these kids growing up, our kids, your kids. The kids on your team and their team, they all grew up together. A lot of them, you know, have known each other forever. And so that brings a whole nother piece. It's not like Clovis West playing Buchanan or Clovis North playing Clovis East. And it's they're so close together that's going to bring – that's what's so nice about this. And the families that are involved, because you got so many families that know each other, do things on weekends together, all those. So you got a lot of people in this gym, and it's going to be fun because – well, it's going to be fun. Well, it's going to be fun whoever wins, right? At the end of the day, you're going to be moping around a little bit if you don't. But to answer this question for me, what has to happen tonight for the team to win? Who's going to win? And, I mean, I'm not going to say who's going to win. I know who's going to win in your mind. But what has to happen in order for that team to grab an edge tonight?
You know, I think anytime you get to league, it never matters. Tonight you have two very good basketball teams, but even if it appears a little lopsided on paper when you enter league, there's such a different heightened sense of urgency and intensity when you get to league. And so, you know, we both played some tremendous talent teams and individuals up to now that maybe some of those teams are better than what both of us are, but when you step on the stage in league, it's just everybody knows each other. You've scouted each other. You have the neighborhood rivalries, you have all those things. And so the whole intensity factor, everything's just, you know, there's going to be emotion tonight. A lot of the girls' teams haven't played in front of this big a crowd before. So who settles in earlier? So, you know, there's all those factors. In terms of what happens on the court, it's going to come down to, you know, they've got great senior experience with Savannah and Rowan. We have 10 kids returning from last year that you hope learn some things over the years and can rely on those that have the most experience. Who settles into their game first and sticks with their game plan early on, because both teams will be prepared. But, you know, this first one playing in Clovis North right at the shoot, I mean, that's a challenge and at their place. And so, you know, we obviously need to slow down. They're two seniors, and we hope that we have the balanced offensive attack that we've had and do the little things that we prepared for this game.
We're talking with Craig Campbell, the head coach of the Clovis West Golden Eagles. They'll be tipping it off at 5:30. We'll have it on NorCal TV. Matt Johnson and I. It's going to be an exciting one. And Craig, you're so right, because you both have played some super tournaments. Maybe not a big crowd in those tournaments, because everyone's, you know, it's just more of a tournament. Now you're playing in a big crowd. You're absolutely right. People don't think about that. How do the girls react when it's a selling arena atmosphere? And some people, they get excited when the big crowd, and other people get a little nervous. So who comes out? I mean, it's a big story.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for me, I remember as a player and even as a coach now, people ask me, you know, do you get nerves for a big game? And, you know, you always have some anxiety and some things run through your mind. And literally for me, once the ball goes up, it's just – it's literally what's happening in that rectangle there. And so as a player, I just always remember, I didn't care if it was noise for us or noise against us. It was just nice having noise. So having a packed gym was always just more exciting. I enjoy coaching in it that way. The kids are going to be in for a treat. You know, not a lot of teams get to play at Sellen Arena. And so to have multiple of these opportunities for these kids throughout league now is going to be exciting. You know, these kids work so hard for these opportunities, and most of them are only in the limelight of their varsity career for a year, maybe two, for a lot of kids. So to be able to play in front of a lot of people and create some memories is really a special thing.
Hey, Craig, how is it on campus? How is the student body tonight? Is it rallies? Anything going on? Or they got balloons? What do we got going?
Bonfires.
Well, being the road team, I'm not really sure what to expect, because we've been feels like we haven't played at home in about 3 months. We've had no games at home in forever, and so I'm not sure really what to expect. I don't know if the student body's fired up. I sure hope they turn up and show out, but. I think this first night's going to set the tone for the rest of track. I think those that don't show up from schools are going to see what they're missing tonight And I would expect the following nights will be good at all of our schools, because it's going to be real exciting. You don't have to choose anymore. You get to come in and watch all four teams compete and hopefully compete at a high level.
Are you loving this now that the boys and girls are playing on the same night? I never liked the boys on one gym and the girls on another gym.
Well, you know, that's all we knew in Nevada. Eric Swain and I, we talked several times, that we always played before the boys. And so we'd finish up our game, and you'd go sit down in the stands and watch the game and support the boys. And our parents would hang out with their parents, and it was great camaraderie, and it was exciting. And, I mean, there's been a lot of parents and families over the years that have had a daughter and son playing and have had to miss out a lot of game time. So this is what's best for the kids.
Do you like it swapping back over to where you're playing at 7 and the boys are at 5:30? You like that whole setup flip-flopping like that?
I don't think it's necessary. I think it's, I mean, you know, the boys draw more. It is what it is. People want to talk about Title IX. Title IX applies to a lot of things, but it doesn't really apply to crowd size. I think our girls, you know, it's the concern would be playing late is how many of those people leave after the boys game. Because that's kind of, to me, more humiliating for the girls if the place gets empty right after the boys game and they empty out. Where the girls playing before, we'll get crowds for the girls, but then people that come early for the boys, now the crowd's really big and lively. Fourth quarter of the game, it's hopping in there. So I don't think it's necessary to switch. We're just, you know, if that's what we have to do to keep this, that's what we'll do. But the priority is getting the boys and girls doubleheaders.
Yeah, for sure. No, I don't want to keep your mind away from the game, because that's just another thing for next year, but by the way, congratulations on Maddie's acknowledgement with Cal High Sports on that team of the 2000s, I think they gave it to her for a second team, Craig?
2010.
Yeah, no, that was really special. Yeah, and I mean, yeah, she made second team for the decade for all of California. It was, you know, she's had so many great teammates from not only Clovis West, but several of those Cal Star kids that they played with and against over the years. There's just so amazing names, and to have her name even appear with those is very humbling and very flattering.
Yeah, there's definitely a list of, I went through that list and looked at some of those girls and man, there's a lot of them that did a lot of things in high school, but also beyond high school. So definitely an accomplishment. So give her our best and congratulate her for that award. That's awesome.
And Craig, you know what's amazing?
I will. Thank you very much.
That 2017, your national championship team, 8 girls played the next level, Division I basketball, Division II, whatever it was. Not one at Fresno State. Not one girl that's 8 minutes away that played at Fresno State. But that is unbelievable. One school with 8 girls playing at the next level. As a coach, you got to be proud of that.
No, that was, you know, that you're lucky. I coached 11 years at Reno. I never once had a Division I player. And I had one kid that was D2, and during her time there, she went Division I. And the school transitioned into Division I. So if you get one on your team, you're lucky. You get two, you have a special group. To have 7 Division I and a 4-ride D2 kid on one team, you know, that's obviously the talent piece is what allowed that team to do that. And then the selfless play. That team never cared about the headlines. That team never cared about who got what stats. That team played for the name on the front of the jersey, and they were never about putting out what they did individually. And, you know, we promote things for our program, but those kids that had accomplished so many things. And when you look at what they're doing at the next level, I mean, all of them are contributing significantly at the schools they're at. And so it's just, it's really a unique collection of talent that I'll never have again in my career, and most coaches are never blessed with.
Talking with Craig Campbell from Clovis West before I let you go. One thing you just mentioned, the name on the team on the front of your jersey. I think that's huge going in, because there's something about when Clovis West shows up, that's Craig Campbell. That's Clovis West right there. It still intimidates people, and Clovis North has to get over the hump with the Clovis West. They're not playing anybody else. They're playing Clovis West. And that's, I'm telling you, that's tough, and you've got the mojo right now in basketball.
Well, thank you. I mean, we lost a lot of pieces from the 2017 team, and then we lost a lot of pieces last year. And so, you know, this group is They're really trying to figure out who's going to be the leader and who's going to step up. We got some natural kids that do it talent wise, but you know, vocal leadership. Leadership's not needed when you're up 40. Leadership's needed when you're down 8, when you're in a 2-point dogfight. And so, you know, we really need that leadership to step up tonight and going forward, because all the tests are done now. Now everything counts for real. And our league is going to be an absolute. This is going to be the best league it's been here since I've been here for the last 15 years.
So true. I've seen Buchanan play. Clovis is playing lights out. They beat Memorial already. I mean, it's going to be unbelievable. You're right. So right. Well, Craig, best of luck tonight. I'm excited to be out there calling the game, and good luck.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate all you do for student athletes and covering the game tonight.
All right, Craig, good luck. We'll see you over there.
Craig, all right, sounds good. Thanks, man.
Craig Campbell. I mean, Nick, you know what? When you walk in with that Clovis West uniform on, you intimidate people. It's the Alabama football or something. You know what I mean? It's just one of those. Oh, if back in the day, football, high school, the drillers, they come out of the fog up in that old stadium, and it just, you intimidate people.
It's interesting because, you know, you get outside the area, and a lot of areas don't even know the schools down here. And if you follow high school sports, you recognize it, you know, because you get around or you pay attention to social media, looking at stats and things like that. So you might not know the team, but you recognize the name. You know, I remember when, you know, years ago when my oldest daughter was playing, we'd get outside the area and nobody really knew who Clovis West was or any other school around here for the most part, unless it said Fresno on it. And they just you know, associated with Fresno. Of course, they know where Fresno is. But now you get out there and Coach Campbell's correct. You know, I sit down or something and they'll say, hey, you know, they'll talk to you about, you know, whether it be a club team, you're not even wearing the school's uniform, but you're wearing a club uniform, and you get talking to different folks from different states or different cities. And it's interesting because they'll say, where's your kid play? And you say, well, okay, this school here. And they sit there and go, oh, we know that school. You guys won that, blah, 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 or whatever. And a lot of it's associated. So, again, going back to what I said earlier, the more, if it's one school and it's not your school, but that school's successful, that's just going to mean good things for all the schools in the Valley. And that schools meaning the kids that are there, you're going to get more coaches that are going to come into the area. They're going to be down here. They're going to start asking questions about, well, we're coming to see this person, but we're going to get out and see that person now, because it might not be their prime reason to come here, but they have secondary schools they can go to justify the trip coming to Fresno, because so many coaches have told me, if I'm going there to see one player, it's a tough travel for me, because I go there, going back to my comments about the airport here, it's hard to get in and out of here from different cities. So I think it's great that we can have some teams that have been successful. That 2017 team winning the state championship, you can throw rocks at them if you want to, but in my opinion, that win did a lot for not just that school, but it did a lot for the Fresno area.
Okay. I like it. Tonight we'll be broadcasting on NorCal TV. I'm hoping there's no anything to do with a candle or fire, because Matt's got the famous blazer on tonight, and that thing will go up in flames.
I see that. He actually got either a haircut or he put gel or something in there.
We washed it.
Oh, he shaved. He shaved, maybe.
No, he washed it.
Oh, that's
Matt. Matt is, when he has it, when he doesn't have a hat on, he's completely different. One time, Nick, before we take a break, we did a game on TV once in Visalia. It was a state championship all-star game, and it was pouring rain, and Matt didn't have a hat on, and he didn't have an umbrella, and he looked like a little mopped head out there. It was the cutest thing
ever. I could see that, actually, a little bit. You know.
Well, Matt's going to join us in a few minutes. Ron Scott, also Marcus Walden from the Red Sox, former Central Grizzlies, is going to join us. We got a great show until 5, then we're heading over to Clovis North. Let's take a break. We'll be right back on 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
In the zone on a Friday afternoon, an early Friday. We're here for until 5 o'clock, and then we're going to get the ESPN Fashion Furniture bus over to the Clovis North gym, as Matt and I will be calling the Clovis North versus Clovis West basketball, boys and girls, at NorCal, along with Nick Anderson. Nick Anderson, of course, the Big Cat. I do want to thank Fashion Furniture tonight. Big sponsor for the TV broadcast with Matt and I. Also, I want to thank the Doghouse Grill. Two outstanding. Crybaby. I want to thank Joe Guerrero, and even Marlena comes through for us. So, and then Nick Anderson helping out as well. So all Fashion Furniture, El Paso, Blackstone, and River Park. They wish everyone a happy New Year. And this is your headquarters for anything to do with your house, your apartment, your condominium. If you have a teepee out in the backyard, they will set you up. The furniture here is second to none. And also Helena Agri Enterprises, if you're a farmer out there, any questions on your acreage? Maybe you're not getting enough love on the east to the west and you don't know what's going on. Call the professionals at 559-261-9030. Tiffany will answer the phone, and she will direct you to wherever you need to go. And they want to be on your team, Helena Agri Enterprises. And speaking of somebody who's on my team, who's one of the best guys, and people don't realize, I think they do realize, living legend in our area, the head coach of the Fresno City Rams, 32nd year in the big dinner tomorrow night, Ron Scott. Coach, how are you today?
You know, I'm doing great. I always laugh, but I have a little vegetable garden planter box in the back. Now, should I call Helen on that? I'm just trying to get some radishes to come up.
Yeah. Oh, that's what they're really good at, radishes. Nick will help you. What?
Will they? Okay, because I planted like a little bag of seed. Maybe they'll help me. And then also, I want to compliment Rod Abadakian and Fashion Furniture and Matt Billingsley at Doghouse Grill, because they do a lot for the community. They do a lot for us. So we're really lucky to have people like that here.
Well, you know, Rod tries to walk around here and do business, but he's signing autographs now. He's got the Sharpie out. They're getting photos with him. He's like a little legend here. Yeah, he does such a great job. You're right. I love it. This is my 16th year at doing this. I don't know why, but I'm still here at Fashion Furniture, and we love them. They're the best. And I know they love Fresno City Rams baseball.
I have 5 hats for him he wants, so I need to bring him in because he has certainly paid for him. That's for sure. He's a great guy. They're really good for us.
He might give
Let's
me
get
one.
On the
I'm
dinner.
Still waiting.
Big night. Hey, I'll give you. Well, I've seen your head before, so you probably need a large.
I need the biggest hat you have. I have a cow head. There's a lot of information up there. I store. So,
You and Bochy. Yeah. Okay, no so question. The dinner's coming. It's a big night tomorrow night. I'm excited about it. Looks like we're going to have another fabulous crowd. Our players and our parents and all our boosters and friends out there in the community have really rallied for ticket sales, so it looks really good.
So we're talking with Ron Scott. So tell the ladies out there, what do they expect tomorrow night on a big dinner? Because, you know, they say baseball dinner. You know how it is. I want to thank my mom and dad out there. And let's bring up another baseball player. And they talk, and the women hate it. What are they going to be in store for tomorrow night?
Well, it's a party. We don't introduce our team. The players are not there. We give a couple awards from last year. We're going to honor Sammy Flores, our coach that passed away. And we have a couple of scholarship people, but – other than that, it's, you know, we do a fifth, well, we do, you know, we have fun. So we do some table drawings. There's a raffle. I think it's called a drawing because you can't call it a raffle. But and then there's dancing. It's dancing. Cocktail hour goes from 6 to, I think, 11:30. It's a long cocktail hour. And I've told you this before. I was behind a woman in Save Mart on a Sunday morning, and she was telling the checker that she had the time of her life last night, danced all night. It was so much fun. And I said, yeah, I think that was our baseball dinner. And she goes, nah, had nothing to do with baseball. And she told me where it was. It was our dinner. So I think a lot of people go there, and the women dress really nice. I mean, it's, you know, it's, I don't know what it's called, business formal or something like that. But the women dress really nice, and the guys dress, you know, the guys aren't in ties or anything, but they dress nice. But the women really, they outdo themselves. So it's a fun night. It's a classy night. It really speaks well for our school and our baseball program.
One of my good buddies who was just here at Fashion Furniture, Aaron Gallardi, he's going to be there from Fresh Farms, and he wouldn't miss it for the world. And I told him, you want to go to a great party, Aaron, you got to be at the Rams dinner. How do they get tickets to this, Ron? Because
well,
people are calling me
door.
Now. Okay.
They can buy them at the door. Just tell them to buy them at the door, and There is a number they can call. It's 285-7267. They can call that number, and somebody can help them. But you can buy them at the door, and I think it's they're easy to get. We don't sell out. We have seating for 1,000. We normally get 880 to 920 in there. So there's always room.
Which is amazing to me. You have about 1,000 people. Jimmy Pardini here at the Exhibit Hall still has the greatest dinner, and he really doesn't know how many steaks or however you're going to have tomorrow night to prepare, but it's still the best.
Well, you know, you give him a number, you know, and he's what's great about Jimmy, other than the fact that he's better than you and I as far as barbecue and steaks and stuff, because I don't know about you, but I have trouble taking care of, you know, just 5 or 6 people. I worry about the steaks being done, and he's doing it for 900 people. But he's real flexible. So I told him we're going to have 850 people. So there's flexibility up to 900 or 8, you know, down to 800. So he's really good to work with.
And you also have a great auction area. You can walk around and, you know, get some things. If you have a sports room, that's second to none. I remember, it had to be 15, 20 years ago, only Fresno City Rams had an autograph of Jesus. Best wishes, Fresno City Rams baseball this year, Jesus. That's how good you guys are at getting autographs, some of the greats, Babe Ruth and all them. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, well, we sit around last night we signed these pictures to about 11, so I always tell people. They go, hey, where do you get these autographs? I go, Eric Solberg does a great job. He works for about 2 months on this, even though he's coaching soccer and being the, you know, National Soccer Coach of the Year. He works at his part of the dinner is the silent auction, and it's really great back there. And, you know, this all started with Jess Silva. I know you know Jess. 32 years ago, he gave me this idea, and I said, it won't work. And here we are 32 years later, and it's crazy. So we're lucky we have, you know, Fred Howard is in, but we have Mike Sherinian and Jess Silva and Pardini have been just unbelievable for us.
What I tell people, we're talking with Ron Scott, the head coach of the Fresno City Rams, legendary coach. He's going
legendary,
I mean,
yeah.
Well, come on, you've been doing this. You've got more wins than almost anyone in the state, maybe in the country. I hope people realize what a treasure you are over at Fresno, and you're always in a good mood. When Ron gets in a bad mood, tell me what's it like? You're in the garage, are you throwing things? What's it going to take for Ron to get in an upset mood when you're at home or even at the ballpark? Besides a bad call,
Bad call. Occasionally, I might go out. I might stick Noakes on him. By the way, Noakes will be there tomorrow night, and we'll probably do the YMCA right at the beginning because that is his forte. So he just came in. He's going to bring the Bullard coaches in with him, so that'll be a fun group. But I'm just like anybody. I try to actually, I guess maybe because I'm older, I realize we're going to have some bad calls go against us. And I think, as crazy as it sounds, I think the better I react to them, it's better for the players, because if I get upset, then they're going to think they're getting screwed. So I just try to tell them the umpires are always right, even when they're wrong. And even though I think Mike's theory is they're wrong, even when they're right. But I don't know. I don't get mad that often because I think I'm at the point in my life where I'm happy I'm still rolling. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We're talking Ron
Scott.
You do. Oh, yeah. We had I had Mike Noakes on yesterday with Tim Simons. I don't know. Ron, it's another way of doing things. I had them both on together. Two legendary coaches here. We had a lot of fun. But coming up after you, a little guy named Marcus Walden is going to join us. And give me the quick scoop of Marcus when he played at Fresno City. Here's a hard-throwing right-hander. What'd you tell me about Marcus?
I love Marcus Walden. So he got us on the field at Fenway. I think they were playing the Giants, one of the last games of the year. And Tommy Goodwin came out. It was kind of fun, but he was a fierce competitor. His arm hurt a little bit while he was here, so we didn't start him or anything because we didn't want to hurt his arm, because he was definitely a pro guy, if not obviously a major leaguer. But he was our closer. We went to the Final Four state championships, I want to say, both years he was here. Just really good pitcher. I mean, he was, you know, guys have it or they don't have it. He had it. So he – fierce competitor, you know, his story of, you know, going through independent ball and battling, and, you know, it's a great story. It's a story that I think a lot of kids ought to look at, because the door's never really closed sometimes till you close it. So the door was closed on Marcus a couple times. He never let it close. He just kept breaking the door down and got noticed. And, I mean, there's just a great example of being, you know, resilient and staying after it.
Well, give us a quick scoop on the Fresno City Rams this year. And I know it's
good team.
Start of baseball, Ron, is always the Fresno City Rams baseball dinner. I say it every year.
It is.
It's official.
It is. Ding, ding. And, you know, crazy as it is, we start 2 weeks from tonight. It'll be probably be like 38 degrees. Usually rain. It rains that day. It usually rains the day of the first game of the season. But so if I was a weather forecaster, I would say long-range forecast, I think January 24th, 25th looks like rain because that's what normally happens. But I really, really like our team. We had a great winter. I always like our team. So people, I think, say I'm always half full, but it's half, more than half full this year. I love our team. The kids get along great. We had a couple kids that came in at the break that are good players, and they're just going to make us better. And, you know, what's nice about our team is there's not a big jealousy thing. I told them, your role is what your role is. You make your role. So it's going to be fun to watch us play. And we have a great schedule. And, you know, like I said, it's cold, but I can't wait to get the season started.
You know, it's pretty simple for me when people ask, hey, how do I get to play? Well, if you can swing it, play a little defense, and you can throw strikes and get people out, you're going to be playing a lot more than the others. That's my game plan.
We were back at the National Convention. There's all this scientific stuff, and, you know, because people are advanced now in technology. And the guy from Vanderbilt, Tim Corbin, got up because he won the national title last year. And he goes, all these computers and all these kind of stuff is pretty cool, but really what it comes down to is playing catch, throwing the ball accurately, throwing strikes, putting the ball in play as a hitter. And really, that's all it is. It's that simple. So if you're bad at one of those things, your team's not going to be great. If you're good at all four of those things, you have a shot at having a really, really good team.
Hey, Ron, how am I going to get Helena Agri Enterprises involved with Fresno City Rams baseball? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Perry, Silver just asked me. Okay, you want to know how I'm going to get Helena in my backyard to take care of my radishes?
I need to get him to be a sponsor for Fresno City Rams baseball. Nick's back on the
horn. Oh, we're
going to
do that. We're going to do that together.
Okay. Yeah, I do want to thank DeChico. Go ahead. Sorry.
I feel bad that they're not sponsoring baseball, and I'm getting late in my career here, so I feel bad that we've never given them an opportunity to be a big-time sponsor. So I think maybe after this weekend, you and I should drive out there and convince them that they should be a sponsor.
Right, Nick? Are you going to do that? You're on the line.
I'll set it up. Is the Pags – Coach, just call me on the side. We'll go get a cocktail and talk about it.
But you all live in the same neighborhood.
I actually laugh when I listen to you guys talk just because – I mean, one day I almost went down and bought one of those Chase lounges just because the way you described it. I go, I need that in my backyard. So you guys you're a lot of fun and funny, and I think people need to laugh more. And I can't wait, Nick, to hear you tomorrow night on a microphone.
Well, the reason why Nick wasn't on, he just ate a whole pizza from the DeChico's downtown. You ate the whole thing. I watched you eat the whole thing in 5 minutes.
Yeah, I actually put some ranch dressing on it and threw some other stuff on to make it even worse. Who doesn't want a pizza with it? If you're going to have a slice of pizza, Matt Johnson's a great example of this because that guy just hondoed about 9 pieces of pizza within 30 seconds. But if you're going to have
Matt Johnson makes me laugh, but I'm a lot older than him. So I'm at the age now when I eat a pizza like that, somebody's got to wipe my chin for me. They'll walk over and say, hey, get stuff on your chin.
They got to wheel you over to the corner.
Wait, Nick,
right?
Did you just mention you put ranch on? Who puts ranch on pizza?
Matt Johnson puts ranch on pizza.
Oh, you guys.
Bobby says ranch dressing. You know, but Luis
Nick,
says ranch dressing
Nick,
on his pizza.
You're Italian, Nick. Yeah. Italians don't put ranch dressing on it.
I got a little bit of something else. Are you full Italian?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that might be your issue.
I don't understand.
Like I said, you guys are funny. You guys crack me up.
Let me ask Ron Scott. Pineapples on pizza?
No.
Oh, sometimes.
Let me ask Ron.
Ranch dressing. Ranch I like.
I'm not.
Matt?
No.
I'll make a comment. When you're hungry, you're going to eat almost anything. But
so you're right. You're right. But here's the deal. I mean, I'd have to be in a ditch someplace and very hungry for me to have a slice of pineapple on my pizza. My daughter loves this hot Hawaiian. They call it at Me and Ed's, and it says hot Hawaiian. They order that, and they have this secret menu thing. I tried a piece of that, and I almost gave up pizza for a long time. It's that. It's like having a bad night with gin or something. You have too much gin, you're never going to drink gin again, right?
I guess so, but I was. You got me when you said my daughter likes this hot Hawaiian, so I was worried about her.
Oh, you know what? Why did I say that, and why did you think that way?
Because, you know, I was – because you were talking about laying in the gutter having a piece of pineapple pizza. You know, when you're really hungry, you'll eat a pineapple pizza. But
probably so. Probably so.
It's late on my list.
Hey, Ron, before we let you go, your daughters, because you got two of the greatest softball daughters ever still coaching. Tell us about Amanda. Tell us about your girls.
Amanda's coaching at the University of Missouri, St. Louis. They won the conference last year, which was the first time in a long, long time, and she was coach of the year, and they went to the NCAAs. Just missed going to the NCAA Division II World Series. Courtney's at Arkansas in the SEC, so that's a really tough, tough, tough deal, but she's turned that program around. They've gone to the NCAAs three times. Her staff was considered staff of the year in the SEC, and she's done a really nice job there. And I'm proud of her I'm proud of both of them because they've just been really, really good role models for girls. And Courtney's got two little boys. So I have two grandsons that are 4 and 2, and the 4-year-old is fundamentally sound from the left side right now.
Oh, I love that.
And they're just fun. So everything's good there. Their seasons actually start a week after mine. So it's fun because we text like every day, a game day, and let's win three. And, you know, it's just fun. It's just fun. So, I love it.
Beautiful. Ron, tomorrow night, what time? 6 o'clock and it all gets going at the exhibit hall?
Yeah, it starts at 6, but this won't surprise you. There's a lot of older people that kind of get, because cocktail hours at 6. And I think they're used to having their, like, martini or something around 5:30 or so. So they start rallying in the valley there around 5:30, 5:40. So, but the doors are supposed to open at 6, but we usually open them for those little old ladies from Pasadena that come in for their martinis around 5:40. And they know who I'm talking about. They're listening if they're listening. So 6 o'clock it opens, but people get there early.
So Pags gets an early one because he gets in there and gets right with it at that bar, doesn't he?
I'll have the red vest
and
the blazer on.
Hey, we have Pardini's. We have Pardini's bartenders, you know, led by Bobby Magic. You know,
Bobby, love Bobby boy.
Yeah.
No, I'm excited. I got the red blazer ready, Ron. I'm ready for tomorrow night. You put me to work.
Hey, Ron, I want you to visualize something. I might text you a picture, but it's just incredible. Nick's wearing a picnic table cloth. Like an Italian restaurant for a shirt, and he's got a pair of bright red shoes with blue on them, and it doesn't work real well, but he gives me such a hard time. I had to kind of give you that so you could visualize that, but I want you to tune in to NorCal TV tonight. You'll only get half of them, but I want you to take a look at the picnic tablecloth there he's wearing.
He's going to wear that tonight? You can never wear anything two nights in a row. That's the rule. You can't wear that tomorrow night.
I got my red blazer tomorrow night.
He's going to look better tomorrow. But Matt Johnson looks really good with his blazer on. He actually got a haircut and washed his hair for the first time in a while. So it's going to be looking.
Matt's got game. I think he looks good just about anything.
That's just rude. You know, Ron, I cry at night, okay?
Yeah, we know. Lori cries at night.
Yeah, took the words right out of my mouth. Lori is the one that cries.
Oh, boy. She's going to be there tomorrow night, by the way. Mrs. Meter. People don't even know I have a wife.
Coach, you have a good one. We'll talk to you soon.
Ron, I'll see you tomorrow night. Remember, if you want to get tickets at the door, 6 o'clock tomorrow night at the exhibit hall, it'll be the time of your life. See you tomorrow night, Coach.
One. All right, thanks.
Let's take a quick break. Marcus Walden is going to join us. I think so, right? Everybody okay? Look at each other.
Well, we're going to take a break.
Okay, take it to us.
You're listening to The Zone live from Fashion Furniture on 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
Say hello to my new friend.
It's time to get in the zone.
In the zone.
Oh, my God. The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier.
5 seconds left in the game.
Over.
You believe in miracles? Yes!
The Zone is sponsored by Helena Agro Enterprises and Fashion Furniture.
Swung on at the deep center field. Bernie Williams goes back in.
This time, Grandma, it is a grand salami.
It's Friday, and you're in the zone. Here are your hosts, Nick Papagni.
You talking to me?
And Nick Anderson.
You talking to me?
It's time to get in the zone.
What are you worried about? I'm in the zone, man.
More in the zone. On a Friday afternoon, Nick has just come around eating some of the Chico's Italian Pizza. Thank you to Mario Vitucci at the Chico's downtown on Shaw. The Visadero on Blackstone, the original one, the Chico's Mario Vitucci. If you don't want to eat at home tonight, get a takeout, call the Chico's. Also, Sean First, Sean Van Ness, and Kings Canyon and Clovis Avenue. Matty J, how'd you like the pizza today?
Outstanding. Outstanding. Hit the spot. I tried a variety of the jalapeno pepper pizza. Wonderful. I stayed away from the all-meat Chicago special. Yeah, that's just for heartburn tonight.
Well, between you and Nick, you both ate two pizzas. He brought in four.
I had three slices.
Yeah.
Yeah, and let's not forget about the salad, too.
Yeah, the salad's outstanding.
And last I checked, I mean, you're a biscuit shy of about 280. I'm still in that 220-pound range, so let's not get too out of control.
This morning, 217.
217. So you and I are approximately the same. Yeah. Height and weight. Problem is, you're 5'8" and I'm 6'3". So go figure. I don't know.
You know, I'm not even gonna.
You look good tonight.
You look good.
You look good, kid. You look good.
I brought my radio off.
And I like cookies, and I like popcorn, and I like the pag meter. It's all good luck.
We're doing TV again.
TV tonight.
Let's don't mess up any names.
Yeah, it's a big agency coming in town. It's, you know, it's a little bit bigger than CBS Sports or even ABC. This is the big show.
Trying to get a hold of Marcus Walden.
That would have been something I would have liked to have handled at the break.
Yeah. Well, we didn't. I gave Bobby the wrong number. Apparently.
That's okay.
Yeah. So, Marcus.
I'm just trying to keep up with Mr. Nick Anderson, probably the most handsome man in the Valley. He won that award 3 years running. He does. He looks very good. Anything else?
No.
I like the idea of having Ron Scott on and talking about helping out his back vegetable garden in the background, and Helena Chemical will step up, or Chemical, no, but Ag, yes.
Helena Agri Enterprises.
Yes, sir.
You're staying away from the name.
I got you.
Yeah. So, Matt, we got a big game tonight.
Big bunch of games, a few games. Big game, boys and girls.
Yeah.
Cannot beat that. Doubleheader.
We got NFL playoffs coming up this weekend.
Yes, sir. Go 49ers, and let's go handle business, Ravens.
So, you think a lot of people are happy the GOAT is not playing this year? No more GOAT for the New England Patriots.
Well, if you're in the New England states, you're not happy. And if you're – a lot of America's not happy. I would have liked to have seen – that might have been his last run. We might have seen the last of a championship Super Bowl appearance of Tom Brady. I hope not. I'd like to see him do one more Peyton Manning as he retires, get back into the tournament and do his thing, and then get all the way to the Super Bowl.
What boggles my mind, here's a guy who was drafted last – the most overachieving.
Okay, when you say drafted last.
199
of the quarterbacks.
Yeah, quarterback.
He was not the last pick of the draft.
What I'm saying is he's probably the most overachieving player we've ever
had. Six-round draft pick became.
Why don't people love him more? Here's a kid from the Bay Area, and people just hate him.
He has enough love, okay? It's not like he's doing without love. I think Giselle's doing fine, and I think he has a big enough group of people that do happen to love him. I don't think he cares about your hatred towards him. I really don't.
Yeah, I love him.
Oh, sure you do.
He's my favorite quarterback. He's my, you know, you go hang out. And
I know it. I know he is.
Well, I was actually there when Marcus, I was still looking up his number, when he got called up to the Red Sox. Gianna was there. That's the week I was in Boston. We got the Fenway. I didn't want to mess with Marcus because, you know, everyone's on you. But you turn into a Red Sox and Patriot fan when you're there.
Well, you have to. And I have a real affection for Fenway Park, too. And you're trying to tell me you're in Boston, you're in Fenway. We've got a guy from Central High School, Fresno, with one of the great stories, 10 years of independent minor league baseball, trying to find his way. And you didn't like – all you would have to do is just scream, Pag Meter. He would have turned – oh, my God, Pag Meter. You did not touch base with Marcus Walden while you were there?
You know, the reason why I didn't is when Rex got called up, same thing. And I didn't want to mess with him because it's so overwhelming. Last thing you want to know, oh, you know, I got enough. His mind was just going crazy, I'm sure. He's in Fenway.
He's in Fenway, though, but
I know
it's not like we're dealing with Derek Jeter. I mean, he's, he needs a little love. Someone's fanatical guy screaming from the crowd, you and Gianna.
He would have
loved that. Take it from somebody that was a nobody my entire career. When somebody would single me out, we're playing a game in Notre Dame, and the game is over. But all during the game, there's a bunch of fraternity guys because the fans are right on you in that place. And this guy's screaming my name over and over, and I'm thinking, what the heck? So the game's over. We lost. And I'm going out and shaking hands with the other players, and some large-size fraternity dude basically tackles me midfield. They let the fans onto the field. And I'm telling you, what's your problem? He's like, didn't you hear me yelling at you all game? I'm Matt Johnson.
What?
My name's Matt Johnson, and I'm from La Jolla, California, and you're from Chula Vista, San Diego. I knew you in high school, and then it all dawned on me that there's another Matt Johnson, and he's a Notre Dame fighting Irishman. And it made me feel good. It made me feel good. So
you big leagued him, in other words.
I didn't big league. You're not supposed to interact with the fanatical fans. I just couldn't decipher what he was screaming. And what it was, I'm Matt Johnson. And all of his fraternity brothers were drinking, and they were screaming the name too. But after the game, I got wind of it. So I literally took off my jersey, gave him my wristbands, unzipped my shoes, gave him everything I had, and walked off the field practically naked back in the locker room to the walk of shame. No, there was none of that going on. That was not, no.
So you played in the big time. Let me ask another Matt Johnson question, because there's a million Matt Johnsons out there, but that's enough. That's another story. But what's the over and under age wise when you're wearing a jersey with like Derek Carr in the back of it? How old do you have to be?
Well,
you see that all over the place.
There's no age for me. You're asking me the question. There is no age, unless you are that guy, a grown man. I guess a kid could wear Tom Brady's jersey. I'm not going to have a problem with it. But I have a problem with the guy in his 25 to 35 to 40 to 50 going to the game, the Rams game, and he's got on his Roman Gabriel shirt, and I'm thinking, come on.
Well, somebody in this room had a Fred Biletnikoff shirt on a couple of years ago in Oakland.
Okay.
That rhymes with
both of you guys. Fair enough.
Rhymes with Mick Manderson.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he liked Freddie.
He got on my outfit.
It's so bad. We were going to about – I don't know, 15 years ago, we're going to a Raider game. My wife's with me. And a guy walked by wearing his Ken Stabler jersey. And my wife kept saying, honey, he's got to get into the game. Is he late? And I go, who? That guy right there, that Stabler guy. I go, dude, that's a fan. That's not Ken Stabler. He's not even playing anymore. My wife thinks when she sees the game and a guy's in a jersey, a fan was in a jersey, she thinks, and that's why I love her so much, because she's right. Unless it's you, I'm not wearing Joe Sixpack's jersey to the game. That's just not something I would ever do. I'm not going to disrespect anyone. Rhymes with Mac Janderson. I'm not going to disrespect that because I love the guy. And that's cool to me. But for me, personally, I'm not wearing jersey.
Yeah, I always wonder about that. I couldn't do it either.
Ask Walter. I don't see Walter showing up. He's got Michael Jordan's jersey on at Save Mart Center. No, Walter's wearing a nice loafers, shoes.
But you're saying as Matt Johnson would endorse just a Patriots without anything on the back?
Yeah, if you want to dress up in the colors, and you can wear a hat, Patriots cap. I'm just talking about, I'm not going to affiliate myself in someone else's mock jersey.
I wonder what the feeling.
But a lot of people do, and they clearly can't be wrong because they're doing it. And I give them full respect. And to all my friends that are in the memorabilia business and selling all those jerseys, go get it. But I've got plenty of memorabilia pieces in my house, but not jerseys. I don't do the jersey thing.
Well, between you today ripping the jersey industry, Nick's ripping the airport industry, you guys are on fire today.
Yeah, well. How about these guys in Iran that just we let one get away? We took out an airliner. I mean, does anybody want to talk about that?
Is it official now?
Well, it has to be. I mean, there can't be any other idea behind the fact you took down a passenger airliner, Ukrainian airliner. And anyway, that's a different story. That's not for tonight, because I'm excited as all get out that you and I get to go call. Really, the great spectacle of high school sports is going on tonight, all around the valley for that matter, but the big one, Clovis North Broncos, Clovis West Golden Eagles, boys and girls, doubleheader, as you said, the way it's got to be. And I listened on the drive over here from Madera, your Craig Campbell interview, which was really good by both of you guys. You and Nick was, you guys were spot on. And I liked the answer from Coach Campbell about what Nick Anderson actually told me yesterday, and that is, I don't know, the girls first, the boys second, and then they're going to flip-flop it. That'd be awfully embarrassing for the young ladies and feel bad if the boys go first, let's say, next week, and that game's over and a lot of people leave when they were getting all energized in the locker room thinking, this is going to be great. Look at the crowd. And if that crowd leaves for a nightcap with the young ladies, I don't know. I would prefer, whether the boy or a girl, I would prefer playing in the earlier game myself where you can secure the energy and the enthusiasm of everybody showing up to the game. Yeah. But to hear it from Coach Campbell, that goes to show you right there, because that's a straight-up dude, Coach Campbell, and he said it flat out that he's not really all for that idea.
But if I think if both all four teams are awesome, now if there's
– Well, he doesn't have to worry about it when he's at home because he's going to get a crowd. I'm talking about if Clovis East boys are playing Clovis West and they're at Clovis East and the boys go first. Well, Clovis East, they're going to show up. But are they going to show up to watch the Clovis East girls and Clovis West girls game? I think that's what he's referring to.
Yeah, that's a tough one. You don't, you know, great point.
But I do like, without any question, something you've lobbied for years and years of all these teens of years you've been doing this, that they do find a way to get the boys and girls in the same gym, set the time, go first, go second. But you think about Nick Anderson with the great family he has and the great student-athletes he's going through. Honey, you going to go see the daughter play? I'm going to go see our son play. I don't care if it's a JV game, freshman game, and your daughter's a senior. Someone's going to have to divide up the family to go see. I'm going to go watch my son and daughter play. For a parent who has the both boy and girl, that's torture, in my opinion. I don't miss any of my kids' things, let alone if I had someone like Nick had with his daughters and his daughter and his son, and that would be difficult, very difficult.
Yeah, you can't. You got, well, honey, you go to that gym, and I'll have to go to this gym. And we'll just...
Yeah, and then the game's over, and you meet up for, you know, late dinner with the family or ice cream, whatever you do. And how'd you? Well, our daughter just seriously had the greatest game of her life. 32 points, 16 assists, 12 rebounds, and at the end of the game, she knocked the assistant's coach out who got in her face. It was the greatest spectacle in all sports. What?
Yeah.
And you missed it.
She had a half-court shot at the buzzer.
Oh, yeah. Or for the daughter or son that doesn't play much, yeah. Got in, a minute left. They were down to their last two people off the bench. They brought him in. He hit the two winning free throws to win the game. What?
Well, how was your,
How was your game? We won by 46 points. I didn't even know why I was there. I
sprained an ankle and couldn't
play. You picked the wrong, yeah, or that. And with some of these parents, you know, one of them who's sitting here that we're talking about who have these dynamic sports kids throughout the household, how do you do it? I don't know how you do it.
How about this story? People don't really talk about it. We're going to take a break and hopefully get a hold of Marcus Walden is ready for us. Bobby's just trying to figure out the number to call. But
okay, good.
You got Heather Wahlberg-Long, coach of Clovis North. Her dad, coach of the Clovis West. It's a touchy deal.
No, it's not.
Really?
No. It's good talk at home. They get to the gym. They show up. She's got a job to do. Go Broncos.
But Craig's worried about, hey, are you telling anybody my stuff to Heather?
He could worry about that all you want. That goes back to the New England Patriots. Can't do it. What are you going to blame? Hey, I saw it practice. They're
now
running.
They're blaming the Boston Red Sox now of stealing signals. Oh,
well,
that's a new one.
We'll talk after the break.
Let's take a break.
Nick, we'll hit Nick when he gets. Yeah,
let's take a quick break. 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader. We'll be back.
Welcome back. You are in the zone here on a Friday afternoon. It's the Pag Meter. The big cat, Nick Anderson, eating a little DeChico's pizza right now. He's going to be heading over to Clovis North in a little while. I want to thank Mario Vitucci from DeChico's bringing us some tremendous pizzas. The salad today, DeChico's downtown to visit Darrell Blackstone, First and Shaw, Shaw and First, and, of course, Clovis Avenue and Kings Canyon are your locations. I want to thank Fashion Furniture here at the 940 ESPN Studios. Thank you to Rod and the family. There's nothing like it in California. Matt, if they don't have it,
you don't need it.
That's how much they had it covered. If you need a mattress, Mikey, Boo Boo Mancini, Dupree next door will take care of you on the mattress. This whole block, they got you covered, Matt.
Yeah, it is just a cornucopia of action. I love this corner from A to Z, whatever you need for your interior, exterior of your house, you could find it.
Then they have you covered inside. Helena Agri Enterprises has you covered outside. If you're a farmer, if you have trees, pistachios, almonds, etc., this is call Helena 559-261-9030. Tiffany will answer the phone, and wherever your farm is, they want to be part of your team. Now, speaking of a team,
yes,
as a kid, I remember I got to be the PA announcer from City. We did a high school game over at Central back in the day. Here's the kid, Marcus Walden.
Yep.
Who didn't even really pitch in high school. Okay, he goes to City, finds out I got a pretty good little fastball, and then he became a star. Let's get on the line now from the Boston Red Sox, former Central Grizzly, former Fresno City Rams, Marcus Walden. Marcus, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys doing today?
Excellent.
We're doing great. And what a great story for all you Little League Baseball players out there who think you've got something special and you don't want it, you want to continue going. Marcus, you had a great arm. You really didn't pitch in high school. Graduated Central. You were an infielder. I remember you even playing third base. But you had an arm across the diamond. You go to City and find out, I got a little giddy up on the ball. Tell us about that little story.
Well, I mean, it really started walking into my senior year. I was playing in like a perfect game showcase, and Tom Donnell was my coach, actually. And he goes, hey, anybody want to throw the seventh inning? Yeah, I do. Right, I haven't pitched in 5 years, probably. And I was 88, 90, my first time out, just chucking a heater, right, just nothing behind it, just grip it or rip it. And, you know, kind of tried to figure it out from there and started working a little bit my senior year. I think I threw about 30 innings my senior year in high school, and then knew I wanted to go to Fresno City and keep going.
And as you kept going, now did you, you know, coming off of being an everyday type player, 30 innings in high school at Central, but when you started cranking up that arm, how soon after did you start realizing, I've got a little problem in there that doesn't feel right? Maybe you put a little too much strain on it.
I knew I had problems. That's why I didn't pitch in high school. So, I mean, I had elbow issues when I was young. You know, I was a kid that my arm always barked when I was 10, 11, 12, 13 years old. Kind of stopped pitching at 14 when I stopped playing travel ball and really got into the high school game. I mean, I was playing varsity as a sophomore playing shortstop. So I wasn't really pitching on travel ball teams. I thought I was going to play infield my whole life. And, kind of got back into pitching. So, I mean, I threw a lot when I was younger. I mean, I pitched a lot from 8 to 13. A lot of innings and travel ball and stuff like that. But then there was no high, you know, high leverage, not high leverage, but, you know, higher level pitching that I had done before my senior year.
Well, some agent must have thought they saw something special. The Toronto Blue Jays drafted you. You got pretty good money out of the deal. And they went back and said, I got a kid at Fresno City College that throws hard, and I think he could be something someday. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a just walking into my 18. I was 18 years old, walking into Dunedin, Florida. And, I mean, I was in a world of shock because I had no clue what to expect. And, you know, with the kids that are getting drafted now, like, that's the one thing I try to help them with is just to understand what they're walking into. Because if you have no clue, it's a shell shock, and that was one of the hardest things, you know. But I really got into Dunedin in 2007, and they completely broke me down mechanically when I walked in there. You know, I used to be a real big drop and drive, chain, you know, low knee, and I completely changed over the next 2 years, and that's when I thought I had figured it out, and that's when my elbow popped. So it was like a big mechanical change with me. Once I entered pro ball, knowing that I was going to be a project, I was only 18 years old when I signed. I had 1 year of college experience, but I was treated like a high school kid. And it worked out for my benefit because it gave me time to work on those mechanics. And I think that's what's really changed me. I changed my mechanics. I had Tommy John, obviously, in 2010. But that kind of helped me transition and keep playing as long as I have.
We're visiting with Marcus Walden of the Boston Red Sox pitcher. Marcus, your story, and I'm sure you get asked this all the time, and probably whether you're in a foundation, whatever you're doing, is making sure you relay the mission of perseverance over everything going wrong in someone's athletic career. You stuck with it. Is it 10 years of trying to make it to the big show? I know you got an opportunity And then they moved you right back. But 10 years of battling to get to the pinnacle, 9-2 this last season. Incredible story. Give our listeners a little the demons and the good things that went on in this journey of yours to get it going.
All right. So, I mean, just a couple things. So, I signed in 2007. I worked pretty much one level every year. I ended up playing in 2014. I was a free agent for the first time after my 7 years, your 7-year contract, signing minor league deal. And I signed back with the Blue Jays in 2014 and got my first chance to go to big league camp. And that was a big, big
wow.
change in the way I kind of knew baseball. It's kind of like a little league, playing little league your whole life, and then you're being able to go to the high school practice your freshman year. You know, you're like, oh my God, there's so much more. The game, it seems like it's so much faster at the time, your very first time, you know. And so that was a really big blessing, and I ended up I pitched really well in camp that year towards the end, and ended up getting called up April 6th of 2014 and got about 5 days in the big leagues. I didn't get to pitch. So obviously that was like one of the big blessings that it, you know, I'm going to the big leagues, all this stuff. And then I had ended up waiting 3.5 years to get back to the big leagues to actually have my debut. So that was one of
times,
the
Marcus, were there times on that journey where on that time where you were married at the time? I know you've got a couple kids and all that. Did you have a family at that point?
So when I just had gotten married November previous to that year in 2014. So November 13, I got married. I got called up in 14 and in 2014. And then I came to the A's and I've been bouncing around ever since for about 4 or 5 years there. And I was married. I ended up signing with the Cincinnati Reds in 2015 and get released a week into the season. And that's when we started our family, and I started a business here in Fresno, our baseball facility, DIV Baseball Academy.
Yes.
And so now, and that's kind of where this journey kind of, it could have went a whole lot of different directions. And, you know, honestly, with my wife and having the support with her and her family, also my family, obviously, that kind of steered me in to keep playing and staying in the game. Which it could have went a lot of different directions at that time in our life. Obviously, expecting a kid and playing independent ball was one of the choices we made. And I'm pretty happy with the decision we made as a family.
Talk with Marcus Walden now, the new Boston Red Sox. And I was at the game when you got called up. My daughter worked for the Red Sox. So I almost had the word adult pampers, because when you go to Fenway, you almost pee all over yourself. I can't imagine as it playing. You're on there, you've seen the Green Monster and everything. Tell us, everyone, real fast, what that was like.
The, you know, walking in, it's, everything is just super old, as in, like, it's just, everything's history there, you know, and from the outside of the stadium to walking into the clubhouse to the steps going into the tunnel to the dugout, like, that kind of my first time that'll take your breath away a little bit. That first time walking in there. But obviously you get out there and I had opening day at Fenway was my first Fenway game in 2018. And that was awesome. Like, I mean, 2 o'clock game sold out, the sun's shining, you know, Boston is just an unbelievable place to play. It's a, you know, the fans are there and they're rooting. They're heavy.
Let me tell you, the fans love you. They love you, Marcus.
Oh yeah. They, I had to, especially, you know, you get that good start this year, this past year in 2019, and you get that good start in the first 6 weeks. It kind of helped me out with the fans on my side, because, you know, even though I had a little scuffles there towards the All-Star break this year, you know, I felt like I still had a lot of people pulling for me, which was awesome.
And it seemed like every game you went into, you were down one run, you come back, you hold on, and you get the win. You were one of those games where, God, every time, you get it, all of a sudden they're winning 5-4, winning pitcher Marcus Walden. You were on a roll.
It was kind of the role that, you know, we were catching ourselves in there with, I was throwing the fourth, fifth, or sixth, and we were either down one, tied, or, you know, and all you got to do is give our offense some time, and we know we're going to put up 5, 6, 7 runs. So you get them into the seventh, eighth inning, you know, sometimes they turn it on in the fourth, the fifth, and they put up five. And that kind of happened a few times for me this year. I think we were down two or three runs in the fifth, and our offense just click, click, you know, single, get a little rally going, hit a homer, and now we're up 7-4. And it's a, you know, now bullpen hold on to it.
Well, Marcus, with your business here in Fresno, do you make this your home base in the off season, or do you stay back east, or what's your?
So I'm kind of all over the place. All over the place. I do come home to Fresno. My family, I'm the only one from my family. My family actually moved up to Sacramento, so I do come to Fresno so they can come visit me. And then my wife's family is all here in Fresno, so I do like having the kids be around the grandparents a little bit. But no, we do live in Florida. I'll be in Florida most of the off season. I kind of split the off season in half the time in Fresno and then half the time in Fort Myers, being able to train down there at the training facility with the Red Sox. It's a, we got our medical staff and our training staff there, and it's a really, really good setup for me. So it's kind of where I'm at on both sides, but I am in town. I'm actually getting ready to leave on Tuesday. I had to make sure I stay for that Fresno City dinner tomorrow night and then head out and head to Florida.
Well, Marcus, you always have an open invitation. Anytime you want, the Valley loves hearing from you. So I'll see you tomorrow night at the Fresno City Rams dinner. Thanks for hanging out with us today, Marcus.
Not a problem, man. You guys have a great one.
You got Marcus right Walden, former Central Grizzly, Fresno City Rams,
great
and
story.
Boston Red Sox. He's 9-2 this year.
Love him.
Yeah, unbelievable. Thank you to Nick Anderson, the Big Cat, Matty J, Luis, Bobby Boy. We're heading to Clovis Mountain North. We'll be at NorCal TV at 5:30 to watch really, really good basketball. Have a great afternoon, everybody. You've been listening to 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader. As Matt says,
we're going to the game.
There you
get
go.
In it.